Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Profanity Nation.
Yeah, it's the new era of man for some old school fans with a new school brand. We got money on the mic with the plan in hand. And Stat Pat to his left, they go hand in hand. And to the right, we got Simpster, he putting it down. It's the Profanity Nation, we running the town. Yeah,
it's the Profanity Nation.
Profanity Nation.
Hey, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Profanity Nation podcast, where we are the voice of the professional fan. We are in studio today, and we have a guest. We had to bring him in after last week's absolutely
just put me on blast.
Putting him on blast. Absolutely. Had to do that. So, but let's go ahead and first introduce my co-host, as usual, for the Profanity Nation podcast, Money Mike, to my right. How are you, my friend?
Man, I'm good. I'm ready to go ahead and dissect this team. And see how we can win the championship next year, because it ain't happening this year.
All right, excellent. And my buddy, Stat Pat, how are you?
I'm good, man. It's still sinking in that we are not going to be in the playoffs.
Still sinking in?
Sinking in.
Dude, this was going on around All-Star break. What are you talking about?
I'm just trying to be nice.
Hey, man, no.
All right, and with no further ado, of course, the guest of the hour, the guest of the week, you put Money Mike on blast last week. We had to bring him in. Demetrius Held, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing good. Happy to be here for the first time.
Happy to be here.
I just want to say, man, he took my stuff out of context.
Oh, I don't know about
that. We're going to talk about it.
Let's go ahead and first fill you in here, guys. Of course, you guys follow the show. So, of course, Money Mike here, he has been a critic, we'll say, and it turns out to be a fair critic of LeBron James. When LeBron James being a Laker, how committed he was all season, all sorts of stuff. And for the most part, you took a lot of heat. You took a lot of heat as a hater. Now,
I'm not a hater.
I'm just saying, I ain't hating right on cue. So of course, as this season developed again, you came with more ammunition and more justification. Why don't you go ahead and fill everyone in a little bit?
Man, it's very simple, man. What I saw going on all season was a progression of everybody moving the stick of when we were going to turn the corner. I mean, am I like right? It was the first 20 games. Then it was like, my All-Star break. And then it was like, okay, next 10 more games. Then it got to, we ain't gonna do it. why we keep moving the basketball? This whole thing was already in the making at the beginning of the season because of decisions that were made, prior to the season was started. But I want to talk to Marco first. And about some stuff.
Let's go ahead and bring in our resident athletic trainer here for the show, Marco Nunez. Marco, let's bring him up here if we could. There he is, Marco. How you doing?
Doing well. How's everybody doing today?
Good. Man, we good, man. So look, real quick, I just want to talk to you about this. So look, today was the last game. I don't even know who won. It don't matter. So at this point, this is the most crucial point, I feel, for you as an athletic trainer, in the game, because you have an opportunity to look at all the players that have had these injuries and nagging stuff, and now they know they're about to be in the offseason, but they're having, a consistent 2 to 3 months of, being off to get themselves ramped up for the next season. I want to ask you general question about two players. First of all, Malik Monk never was ready. Right. So, but they said he was about to be ready all season.
You're talking about Kendrick Nunn?
I'm sorry. Kendrick Nunn. All season he was out. So, and then we have AD who I guess he just didn't want the term out for
can't
season,
get right.
So, let's start with AD, because we know the history of AD prior to coming to Lakers. We know what he did this year. I know earlier in the season when we were talking about Steph Curry and they were able to kind of do what, like an MRI scan of his body and realize the real reason for the ankle hurting or giving him problems was because of something else. Is that probably where you should start, like with AD, so that way he could go and focus on not really per se the actual injury, but find out the core reason of the why the injury is happening?
Correct. And the funny part about the question you're asking me right now, I'm not sure we had this exact same conversation about a year ago.
Yeah, we did.
So bottom line, at the end of the season, what the sports medicine staff does is they take each individual player and they sit down and do an analysis as far as what were the current injuries that they had this past year. One of the biggest, as far as the sports medicine world, like I mentioned, one of the biggest indicators for injuries is previous history of injuries. So if a player has a recurrent ankle sprain, there's a high likely chance that they're going to have an ankle sprain in the upcoming season. So our job is try to analyze, okay, what is going on, why they're having an ankle sprain. So whether it's MRIs, whether it's x-rays, whether it's CT scans, it's a soft tissue in there. But not only that, but oftentimes those chronic issues or those like soft tissue injuries or like non-contact injuries are due to biomechanical issues, compensatory issues. Where are the weaknesses? Where is it the missing link? Where is a chain kind of messed up type of thing? It was referred to the kinetic chain. And there's assessment tools that the sports medicine staff can do to find objective analysis of the athletes. And this is the key time where they do this. You sit down with the player. When I was there, we took about 2-3 hours for each individual player. We did a whole analysis, and then we printed out a report. And they said, okay, these are your issues. This is what you need to address. Now, that report either went to us, or oftentimes nowadays athletes have their own guy or their own person they go off, and then we would submit that report to them. And our goal would be able to sit down with that person and say, hey, this is what we discovered. Hopefully you can address this. Obviously, sometimes it's out of our hands because they do what they want to do, but that's the ultimate goal. This is the key time where they need to sit down with AD and find out, okay, what are your issues? What do we need to address in the offseason? So hopefully we decrease your risk of injury for the next season.
Okay, so let me ask you this. How do you chastise an athlete for not doing what you recommend, or is that just something that you just don't do? And I mean that in the sense, like,
how do you hold them accountable?
Yeah, like, that's a
fair question.
Yeah, because I mean, I understand that you could give them a blueprint, say, I, you know, hey, you can work with me, you can work with your own private person. But when they come back, like, into training camp, and they're just, you could totally tell that they hadn't done, how do you, I mean, do you chastise them, or do you just say, okay, let's just, you know, go with what? Because I know that just has to be frustrating for you.
Correct. And I guess, and here's a tough part about it, and that is a legitimate question. That's one of the biggest issues as far as holding the athletes accountable during the offseason as far as what they do. If you go look back at Shaquille O'Neal, when he had that toe surgery, he opted to have the surgery in September, October, which kind of went into the season. How do you hold him accountable? Hey, you should have done it back in June, July, and then you would have been back type of thing. That, I think, comes down to the organization. And that's usually from the top, whether it's the owner, the GM, the head of athletic training, the team physicians. Hey, we got to unite together. What are we going to do? Are we going to hold, and also the agent, are we going to hold this athlete accountable to what he does during the offseason, whether, especially if they're not involved with us, they go somewhere else, they go do some of the stuff. How do we monitor it? How do we hold them accountable? But I think that comes down to the organization itself. And every organization is slightly different.
Okay, so that's interesting, because now how do you go and slide the information and say, look, I'm going to let you know. Because see, here's the thing, man. I'm thinking about my job now, right? Because I'm like, yo, yeah. I told the dude to go and work out and go do these particular things, and he don't do it. Yeah. The organization going to turn back and look at me. You know, it's like being a teacher. Like, if I'm a teacher, I say, hey, you need to study this chapter 5 in order to get a good job on the test, right? And they don't go study chapter 5, and then now you fail test everybody in the class, right. then the principal will come and say, well, why are you failing everybody? It's because they didn't study chapter 5. You know what I'm saying? So
correct. But you're absolutely right. And that's the thing about it. When you're the ideal world is when you're talking to that student and you get to the student, hey, I need you to study chapter 5. The principal should be involved in it, and the principal should be supporting you. The superintendent of the school should be involved in it and should also support you. Hey, this is what we told the athlete. This is what we told the student. The student chose not to go study chapter 5. Now he or she failed. It's not on you. So again, it comes down to the organization as a whole, from up top, from the owner, down to the general manager, to the coach. Everybody needs to be on the same page, and this is the understanding. This is what we want the athlete to do. If the athlete chooses not to do that, then you know, as an organization, they should hold the athlete accountable. But that's a key word, as an organization, not, you know, like you said, then the principal's going to come to you and say, hey, Money Mike, why did you tell him? You're like, I did.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Marco, I have a question for you.
Sure.
During trades, drafting, especially drafting because they're younger players, how much research goes into childhood injuries? How far back does the research go?
So that's the one nice thing about social media nowadays and the internet. And, you know, when I was there, my goal before even we went to, went to Chicago for the combine, like 3 weeks before, I would sit down and I would try to find as many articles, as much injuries. I would go on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, because a lot of these young athletes, whenever the rehab, they'll post something on the sword. So my job is try to find all these hidden injuries or issues that they've had down to when they were 13, 12 years old. Because nowadays, kids are playing AU ball when they're 13, 11, 10. And I'm talking about like serious basketball, not like, hey, let's just go hoop a little bit. So issues occur. And that's one of the things nowadays that there's a lot of research. It was funny because I found an article about young athletes getting PRP on their knees. And PRP was something that Kobe did. And you just heard about PRP among professional athletes and collegiate athletes. But now they're actually doing it on young athletes because they're wearing down quicker. They're playing harder. And these injuries that would be ideal for, you know, older athletes are also, you're starting to see them in young athletes. So our job would be, my job was to try to go back as far back as I can and see, you know, try to kind of find what I can find. I was almost like a PI.
Yeah, so let me add to that question, because I often, when I would listen to like Michael Thompson on the radio, he would say that, hey, they should not play basketball, you know, for 3 months. They probably should play baseball or play just a different sport or like different body mechanics and stuff. He always said that he would try to not have his kids play whatever sport that they played year round. Is that something that you would recommend also?
That is 100%. When you're a young athlete, you want to try to avoid specializing in one specific sport. There's a lot of kids nowadays, they play, you know, whether it's baseball, basketball, soccer, they play year round, fall, spring, summer, you name it, they kind of focus in that area. As a young kid, you're developing some of your skills. It's better to try different sports because then you kind of gravitate to that area. Otherwise, you start to develop chronic issues as you're growing up. So yeah, in an ideal world, you want to try to avoid that. But as a parent, oftentimes parents are looking at that scholarship, that college scholarship, and they feel, hey, the more time you spend in this specific sport, the more likelihood you're going to play. Prime example, Steve Nash. Steve Nash was a huge soccer player when he was a young kid. He ended up being a great basketball player. And I think his soccer skills and his footwork while he was a young soccer player probably attributed to him being a great point guard nowadays, and or when he's probably not, but when he played in the NBA.
Yeah, I think soccer is probably one of the best sports to start a child in. Because it's so well-rounded. It keeps you in shape, number one. But if you can get your feet moving, that's a great talent in any sport. Yep. Having good feet.
That applies to any sport, which is whether it's soccer, whether it's basketball, whether it's lacrosse, whether it's tennis, you name it. In any sport that requires change of direction, soccer in part would be great to start off with.
Absolutely. Awesome. Any more questions for Marco, guys?
Oh, no. I think we're good.
All right, Marco, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Please let everybody know the best way to keep up to date with what you've got going on.
Yeah, if you guys have any questions regarding sports injuries, recovery, or anything like that, so feel free to DM me on my Instagram at MarcoANunez17, or please subscribe to my YouTube channel at Evolve Athletic Performance.
Bet, Marco. And Marco,
we ain't going to talk about the Lakers no more.
Yeah, we won't
talk about that. Baseball started, so we're going to be talking about some baseball injuries next week.
Oh, that's right. Baseball should start today.
That's what I'm saying. We're going to be talking about some baseball injuries.
Well, we'll be talking about NBA playoffs, not Lakers. Yeah. Not as much Lakers. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. The one injury I think I just noticed that either happened today was done with Luka Mavericks. I think he had a little bit of calf strain. That's going to be interesting.
Ooh,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah, let's see.
We're still going through withdrawals and depression here, so we're trying. Laker fans are still in the process of checking out, and then we'll check back in.
Right. Yeah. So
we'll let everybody go through the five stages of grief, and then we'll come out of it. Exactly.
Thank you, doctor. That's we appreciate it. Okay. All right, Marco, thank you so much. Marco. We'll see you next week.
Take care. Bye.
All right, guys. So of course, as we discussed, we're talking about grief here, guys. Okay, so it's no shock, everybody.
Really grieving though?
Yeah, a little bit. But
I seem a little too happy about it.
Man, you know,
I do notice that though.
It's been an interesting season for me because I am happy my prediction was correct. I also hate that my prediction was correct. You know what I mean? Because, you know, but
$100 should make that a little better.
Yeah, $100, right. $100 for Fredo. Hey, Fredo, I'm coming for you, man. But my issue is, like, look, if I could foresee this, and I'm just a regular old guy that talks about this, you know, every Sunday and try to get people to listen to what I'm talking about. And when I say what I say about, like, LeBron and other stuff, I've been all season, I'm called a hater. And I'm continuously called a hater, even though I was right about my what I was seeing. I ain't hating. I mean, right?
Wow. You had points, but at times during the season, you were putting a little bit much. You see, the problem was is that he never gave. You never gave an inch. So even when Braun would play four good games, you're like, well, we didn't win. Okay.
Yeah. He didn't win.
Yeah, but we can only do so much.
What is the purpose for it, though? What is the purpose of playing the game?
At least he's got to play his game, and he didn't do that every game. So
stat chaser. You think he's stat chasing?
No.
It's a no-win.
This is all I'm saying. When we listen to the narrative, right, about LeBron, LeBron is great. LeBron can take any team, you know, to the finals. Like, that literally is the narrative, right? That he could take any team, as long as LeBron, he could take a last place team, go on that team, and take them to the finals. LeBron had five all-stars, you know, former or current all-stars in the team, and we are in 11th place. And when I point that out, I'm a hater. I'm like, but the narrative always have been on LeBron that he could go to any team that's sorry and get them in the playoffs to the finals.
Demetrius,
am I right?
Demetrius, there's no doubt that was his MO. You were like, oh, did you see the team, the Cavs team he brought to the finals?
Yeah.
Okay. We're in year what now, Money Mike? Listen. Wait. Year what?
19.
Okay. Should we expect the same?
No.
Why not?
Because it's like you said, it's a different year. We're in 19. You comparing the Miami team, the Cleveland team to this team. Yes, five, I almost say six Hall of Famers. You counting Rondo, and then Rondo left. But at the same time, I said it was egos because they had a lot to prove. They wasn't proving that Miami team was younger. Cleveland team was younger. This team was the experiment, and they tried to prove everybody wrong. Like, yeah, we old, but we can still do it, and it backfired. Carmelo can't play D no more.
He never did.
Dwight Howard is not the 2009 Dwight Howard. Rondo, he off and on. Like you said, we was kind of on Westbrook and AD, and Westbrook been the only consistent, and AD was off and on. We wanted bubble AD. And we didn't get that. So injuries, you can't say if they was healthy, it backfired. Injuries up and down, that's all I have to say.
Okay, but listen, here's my thing. Back in the day, there literally was 8 spots. You got 10 spots to make the playoffs now.
Yeah.
You got 10, I mean, literally.
And LeBron didn't even want that. He was complaining about the play.
He missed that. And we are 11.
It's
literally easier to make the playoffs right now.
Yes,
and I'm kind of glad because I don't want to see a swept.
Okay, let's get to the bottom of this. Okay, we're gonna dissect before we dissect the percentage of responsibility here as far as for the Lakers' failure. And there's no doubt about it. This season was a failure. What I'd like to do here with you, Stat, and Demetrius, because you do know Money Mike. Let's dissect Money Mike.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Let's do this here. He's holding LeBron James accountable in year 19. He's 37 years old. Is that right?
Yeah.
37 years old. He's holding LeBron James accountable. LeBron James isn't even the highest paid player on our team.
Right.
LeBron James didn't take any assets to come here. He signed. He didn't take any of our assets like Westbrook. Hang on. Like that I recall. Am I right? Westbrook did. Right.
Are you serious?
He's come and he's played. What? I know that he hasn't performed all the time, but he didn't. How did he detract from the team? Because you act as though he has been an eyesore, like just Westbrook took from our team. Steve Nash trade that took from our team. Please explain, if you may, how he took from the team, because that's maybe how people find you.
You want me to explain how LeBron James took for the team?
took from the team.
Okay, cool. So he went to management and said, I want Westbrook.
Okay.
So him going to say, requesting Westbrook.
Yeah.
You know, in order for us to get Westbrook, because he is under contract.
Yes.
A $44 million contract.
Yeah.
That means that we have to take players to match that salary.
Right.
And that means we have to take at least three players to match $44 million, you know, to match that salary.
Correct. Yeah.
So he took from the team because he requested to get Westbrook over here.
Okay, Demetrius. He requested. He requested. Okay. There's a chain of command that goes above that said thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up. Okay. Is this fair from Money Mike to put so much blame on him before we even dissect? Is it fair? Because Pat, forgive me, a little bit of your personal life. You're a teacher.
Yeah.
Okay. Kids can ask all day long.
Yeah.
If you say yes, you're the one above the chain of command. That falls on you.
Yeah, it's on me.
Why is it stopped with LeBron?
Because LeBron's MO for the last 10 years has been that, right? He went to Miami.
So isn't it on the front office to say, wait, that's your MO. We're not going to let you do it here?
I mean, but he did it. He did it. And listen, this is what I want to say, because all I want to say is that I want equal blame as much as equal support. When he went to Miami, he literally negotiated a contract. He said, you're going to make this much. You're going to make that much. Boss, you're going to get the most out of all of us. Boom, let's sign this contract. He literally went in there and did that. They won. They got two rings out of it. Perfect. Great. LeBron is great. That's amazing. He did a great job, right? We talked about it earlier.
Right.
He went to Cleveland. Said, hey, okay, cool. Get rid of Wiggins. I want Kevin Love, you know, and then I'll go ahead and sign. I'm going to get this much. He's going to get this much. Cool. Great. He won got a contract. He came over here, said, yo, all right, cool. You know, I'm here. I want to get rid of these young people. Let me get AD, and we're going to run this. We go to 2020.
Yeah.
We win the championship.
Right.
Great. So all those accolades came from what LeBron requested to have, right?
Right.
So now this year, hey, I want Westbrook. It didn't work. Why can't we give him that same credit as when it doesn't work, as it does when it did? Because see, here's my issue with that. If you look at all those teams that he went to, he gutted the team.
When he left,
that team was nothing. They had no assets. They had no bench. They had no anything because they all were top heavy.
Okay.
So this has been what LeBron MO has been.
Demetrius, first time.
Wilder, if you agree with me in Clubhouse, break your mic.
Like, okay, first time, right? I mean, everyone's heard this cliche, right? First time, shame on you.
Yeah.
Second time, shame on me. Yeah. Lakers know his MO.
Yeah.
Look, I think you have selective recall and memory, because after 2020, everyone was looking at Pelinka like the next coming of GM.
Exactly. But,
and it wasn't until he destroyed it.
Yes.
But everybody forget when LeBron came here, Magic was here. Magic sat with LeBron, came here. He tried to make it work with Lonzo and everything. And then, well, I guess we all know why Magic walked out. Pelinka was Kobe's guy, you know. So that's what happened. And then he's like, hey, we can get, instead of, they really wanted Kawhi. That backfired. They got Davis.
Yeah.
You know, they got Anthony Davis. And then they had to make do with do. And you have to admit, we did have this talk. We wanted that championship. That's Laker fans. We greedy. We wanted that. We just should have kept the team together. So AD gets some blame too, as far as Pelinka, Genie Buss.
Hey, I rock with that. Do you have a comment you want to say?
Clubhouse.
I mean, I'm listening to what you guys are saying. The blame across the board. Right. I don't think there's a wrong or right answer. Everybody deserves a portion of the blame itself. Me personally, I more look so at Pelinka a little bit more, because I mean, he's the one who kind of wheels and deals, right? And he got to step up and like say, you know, like, as much as you may want this, this is what is best for the team, right? And we never seen that. He was just kind of like, okay, like being that yes man, right? And I feel that was a big effect on how things went this year. And and whatnot.
I would agree.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I agree with that. But why is the organization a yes man to, you know, not just the Lakers, not just Cleveland, not just Miami? Mm-hmm. It's because of Clutch Sports.
Okay. Well, right? Miami, mm-hmm. I wouldn't say, because Pat Riley wasn't a yes man.
Okay.
He was a yes man to a point, and then when LeBron wanted, you know, Spoelstra to leave, Pat was like, no. So, and Miami, number one, they rebuild after LeBron left, so.
You know, yeah. You can say no.
Yeah.
And I believe that the fault falls on above because, yeah. Look, he's under contract. He ain't going nowhere.
Right.
You say no, he ain't going nowhere. Scott.
No, he's not going to go anywhere. And I was posing this question to Mike earlier. LeBron has been here for 4 years, right? Going on five. And are we satisfied as Laker fans of what we've gotten from LeBron in this era of Laker basketball? And that's a real question at this point. I mean, there's going to be a lot of no's, but we got to be for real about this. It's one championship in 4 years. Of course, we have issues and reasons why, but it's still going to be what it is. And we have one more year. He's under contract. Is one championship in 5 years good enough for all the things that we've done for LeBron? Are we satisfied for that one championship?
I don't know.
Are we?
Can I look? First of all, yes, I'm happy that we have a championship. But my question is, can we just be competitive? Can we be competitive? I mean, I'm not even asking. I'm not even asking for another championship. But can we? Can we be competitive? Can we have something to live for? And because I don't know about you guys, you know, I'm an avid Laker fan. Everybody knows. I knew there was a game today. Had no attention, you know, watching it, you know.
Wow, it's a toss.
You know, but I felt like that 20 games ago, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
See, we've been talking since we follow the Lakers here closely for Fanny Nation. So this has been since the first preseason game, then the third, then the eighth, and then the first season game, and then the injuries. And then, like you said, we kept putting it off, Money Mike, but you know, the reality is this. The man is in year 19, okay?
Yeah.
Wait, how many titles did Kobe bring us in his last 4 to 5 years from year 15 to 20?
Well, that's a good question.
You know
how many titles did Kobe – because you expect this man in these years to carry teams on his back and bring titles. How many titles? And then we know you're a Kobe. How many titles?
Can we be fair? Okay.
How many times were the Lakers in contention in the last 4 to 5 years of Kobe's career?
Listen, we weren't. But here's the thing.
No, we were not.
Yeah, but here's the difference to me, right? Like, I don't think that we can say both. Really, we saw Kobe going on a downward spiral.
Yeah.
We know that Kobe got the final contract because of what he did for the organization versus what he was capable of doing for the organization at the current time.
Right.
We all know that. We'll admit that. You know, that was because of what have you done for me in the past versus what we've done for me lately.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's unfair for us to do that for LeBron simply because this guy is averaging 30 points a game. This guy is still averaging at a quote unquote high level.
We're doing it because he bought us a championship.
But what I'm saying is, though, if this guy is averaging, you know, we have to pick a side. We either have to say, oh my God, this guy's in his 19th year, and he's not able to do it again like Kobe. Or we have to say, oh my God, this guy's in his 19th year and he's still, you know, beating Father Time, and he's Tom Brady, for example. Yeah. You know, I mean, we have to just pick a side of what we're going to do, right? You know, because we know
why can't you say that he's a important piece at this time and his basketball knowledge comes into play?
Because he doesn't navigate as being an important piece to the team. He navigates as I'm the man still. Just like Tom Brady at 45 navigates like I'm the man. Right. So if you are saying that I'm the man and I'm going to score 30 points a game, then I want to treat you like that and have the same requirement in your 19th year as if you were in your fifth. I mean, is that if I'm unfair, then,
the Tom Brady comparison, I like that part.
If I'm unfair with that, then tell me.
No, you're not. And it's I've noticed that everything was hunky-dory in the first of the season, right? LeBron is on the MVP pace. We're talking about MVP, and if the Lakers' record was better, he'll be an MVP candidate. Then we start the reality of the Lakers not making the playoffs. Now, all of a sudden, he's old in year 19. So I'm just saying the narrative did change really quick. Before, it was he was an MVP, and he's on the level of Giannis and all these other cats. Then they don't make the playoffs, and now he's old. So I just want to be clear about that, because I don't understand why he's not getting the smoke he deserves. I'm with Mike on this, on the real. Like, when we're talking about,
thank you, Steph, Pat.
When we're talking about LeBron James right now, mm-hmm. if we were basically lulled to sleep this whole season. It was like, okay, yes. like we were talked about.
Yes,
we right. were kind of like, well, don't worry about that preseason. We were getting blown out of preseason. And people were like, man, the Lakers are losing the preseason. And we were like, man, it's preseason. Then we lose it. And then we're like, wait till we get to Christmas. We get blown out in Christmas.
And it's
All-Star break. We keep pushing. Like we said, we keep pushing it.
LeBron
pushing
always it, turns it on after All-Star break.
Oh, yeah. And then we don't get it. And then all of a sudden, it's like April 1st. And then all of a sudden, everybody's like, we ain't going to make the playoffs, huh?
And you know why? You know,
like, April Fools. Like April Fools.
We're not making the playoffs.
And that's the question, like you said, the reason why LeBron not getting all the smoke, because what was the biggest distraction? Westbrook. Why yes. Westbrook not doing this? Why yes. turnovers? He's Westbrook from LA. Westbrook took all the
took so the much volume. Heat.
Yep. And
all for these cats, dude, yeah. is ridiculous, because he was an easy target.
Exactly. I have a question so for easy. Money Mike here. Money Mike. Okay. Let me ask you this. Okay. So as a player, he came and he brought us, helped bring definitely a championship here. Would you be okay and more willing to accept his talent as is if the jersey hanging wasn't such a
which jersey?
See, if him jersey? Being considered one about? Of the all-time great Lakers wasn't on the menu, and it was just, hey, what have you done for us lately? Thank you for your service. Goodbye. If none of that other stuff was there, would you have less problems with LeBron?
Look, I didn't like LeBron game when he wasn't here. So, you know, I mean, Pat, you know,
well,
I
like the titles he can
win. No, but I never was a fan of LeBron James, okay, James fair. Game. So, you know, when it came here, obviously I had to root for him because I felt like he was Karl Malone to me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I get that.
Karl Malone, like, you know, I hated Karl Malone when he was in Utah. We came here, I got root for him.
Yeah.
Because he's on the team. So right. I rooted for LeBron.
Right.
You know, I want him to do well. I want to be able to win the championship. Right. I was the first one that thanked LeBron for the championship, if you guys recall. Hey, LeBron, thank you very much for the championship. Right? I will give the guy his props. All I just want is just an equal amount of, oh, my God, he's great, to, oh, my God, he messed up.
But you're not asking the other question. If you gave us two, you wouldn't be all this hate.
If he would have given us two and made us contenders, at least contenders, like, you know, make the playoffs in these 5 years. If we would have made the playoffs and won two championships,
what?
Then I would, and then if they put him, hung his jersey up, I would have to go get him on my ball. But that obviously ain't gonna happen.
You said you would get him tattooed on your ball?
No.
No. Oh, my God. No.
Okay.
What bet was wrong? Whose bet was that?
Let me explain.
What was that?
I have nope. an NBA wow. basketball nope. that has nope. everybody's autograph on there that's retired on the wall.
Yeah.
No, except for Wilt. And it's one of my most prized possessions. And if LeBron would have performed and gotten to the point where they would have retired his number, I would have had to take my basketball, you know, Hall of Fame basketball, and get it signed. But that doesn't look like it's going to happen. Wait a minute,
dog. So let me get it straight. So if LeBron James gets his jersey on the wall, I know you don't think it's going to go up there, but if
there's no reason. He's not Lakers.
Just saying, if it goes up there, are you not going to get LeBron?
I have James? To get it on the wall.
Okay, you have to, right?
Wait, you changed the narrative, because we said he has to get two championships. Do his number deserve to be on the wall after one championship?
No, it doesn't.
No, absolutely.
It doesn't. Exactly.
Exactly. Absolutely not.
However, the Lakers are going to retire his damn
No, but no. But wait a minute. But see, here's the thing. Well, here's the thing. As a Laker in 5 years, as a Laker in the 5 years, like, just look at the last 5 year stats. they're not that great. They're not. That's not the Hall of Fame season.
No.
That's not Hall of Fame.
No.
I mean, Kobe had 2 Hall of Fame. He had 8 Hall of Fame, 24 Hall of Fame. These 5 years that this dude gave us,
it's not
Hall of Fame. It's not. He didn't give us a chance. He didn't. We didn't make us contender. For real. So,
well, Miami, he got 2. So, yeah, Miami should. He should get all.
Well, listen, Miami. Okay, see, first of all, when Miami retired Michael Jordan number, that was they just wanted to retire somebody.
Lost all
you know what I mean? Yeah. So
you have Miami, and then you have Boston.
Yeah,
and like, you're like, okay, Boston. There's barely any numbers left. Right.
Cleveland might give him a statue.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah.
That's where he should.
But that's the question. I don't think Lakers. I might get ringed for this. I don't think he should. Get a statue or
no championship. He's not a Laker.
No but statues. 2 championships, y'all.
He's not a Laker.
2 championships, you do agree.
At this point, he should be on at this point, I wouldn't do it because we weren't contenders in the other time.
No, I'm but 2 championships are 2 championships.
Yeah, like Pau Gasol gave us 2
championships. But we were contenders every time we were here. I mean,
look, man, look, I'm sorry. If you're going to tell me, if I'm not going to say, if in 5 years, we missed the playoffs 3 times in those 5 years, but we went 2 championships. And I'm going to scoff at the 3 times we missed the playoffs.
Especially when there were
for the 2 championships?
Sure. Okay.
It don't matter.
All right, cool.
That shit don't matter, dude. Okay. Really,
I definitely want to do the blame pie before we go, but let me say this, though. How are we going to win a championship with this team? Because, Westbrook is on the contract. AD's on the contract.
He's gone. Not AD, but Westbrook's gone.
I mean, one of the 3 got to
go. But how?
Nah, they're all staying, and Phil Jackson's coming.
If they all,
you know what, dude?
They're all staying, and Phil Jackson.
Okay, look,
I'll take Mark Jackson than Phil Jackson.
Nate, you know what?
Well, you know that's what sucks.
Van Gundy.
They talking about, hey, we for sure ain't gonna win no championship. They was talking about freaking Doc Rivers. Then they were talking about Quinn and
Stan. I would say Quinn Snyder's not bad. But
Quinn is not bad.
He's not a championship right now.
But we don't even at this point, bro. I think we need stability. Like I think we need structure. I think we need more than just trying to get this because we don't have any kind of cohesion at all. We don't have any structure. We don't have any kind of identity. It's just guys out there just throw the ball out there and just playing street ball. Like, we don't have anything that you can hold your hat on to say the Lakers are good or rebounding or they're good at defense or they're good, you know, the 3-point shooters.
They're terrible at everything.
Quinn Snyder will give them that. It's kind of like when you got Dale Harris. Dale Harris was used to get us to a level. So when Phil Jackson came, he took over. Right. It was like literally we won 60 games with Dale Harris. You know what I'm saying? And then Phil Jackson comes in.
Quinn Snyder gets us into Money Mike's worst nightmare, which is middle of the road, make it in the playoffs. Yeah, and it's just, that's not it. As far as if he's a setup coach, like for the other
coach, I think he's a setup coach.
Maybe. I think that I could see, believe it or not, I could see Phil Jackson making one last splash. There are no LeBron James superstars left. Of that generation that can even relate to Phil Jackson. John Morant doesn't want Phil Jackson. Nobody does. When you're talking about that they had no cohesion, no chemistry, that's the coach.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I think you brought it up, Demetrius. You're saying that Westbrook never bought in to Vogel, right? Yeah,
never.
That's what we're hearing. Right. Okay. That's the coach. Okay. So who is the mastermind at managing egos? It's the Zen master, period. He can go in there. Can he muster up the energy? I'm not sure, but I believe he's been around. He already knew this season was a wash, so he's been around. Vogel will be out the door. We'll see if he has any more say with personnel, but I think that is the splash that Genie would be looking for. And again, in that Laker, keeping it in the family feeling,
yeah,
that qualifies.
Let's see. I don't know, man. Yeah.
When you look, I mean, if she can convince him to come out for a year, 2
Somebody
years.
Somebody said, you have something to say, break your mic.
Yeah. I mean, I can see where that happened, but it's just when I think about Phil Jackson and I think about today's kind of player, like you said, like John Moran don't have anything to do with him because the way they did things back then is not for this generation now.
No, they're right.
And that's why you see a lot of times it's college basketball. Now the coaches are ex-players. You know, the kids want to see their coach because they want to believe in that coach. Like, okay, the coach did it, so I can believe in that. Not because you told me to do it, just because I have to respect your authority, like Coach K or something like that. Mm-hmm. No, I need to say, oh, okay, Juwan Howard, you were the Fab Five. I see the tape. Mm-hmm. You were doing it. So I understand when you tell me that you've been there, you've done that. And so now this new age of players want to see those coaches, no, don't tell me, show me that you did it. You know what I'm saying? And so Phil Jackson will be good for the older players. But
it's a new –
it's yeah. At this point, the Lakers got it. That's why we signed McClung for this two-way. You know what I'm saying? We signed, you know, we got Reeves still on the contract. We got Stanley. We're trying to keep getting these younger assets because the joke was on us, and the rest of the league knew we were too damn old, and it showed, and it reared its ugly head in crazy fashion this year. Yeah. So that's what it was. So now we got to get, you know, we got to get better.
Like
we got to get
what
younger.
Phoenix doing, you know, you see yes. what Memphis doing. You yes. see what Denver doing. You got to keep up with that. Because they even said the big three structure is not working no more. You got to do like how Chris Paul with the young guys on Phoenix, how Ja Morant with those veterans. You see Golden State restructured
yeah.
around those three.
Got Jordan Poole
and all that. Yeah, I mean, so, yeah. Come on.
Yeah, but we don't have that luxury. Yeah.
No, because we gave away all the assets.
We're probably, like most people are saying, we're stuck with these three unless we're willing to give up way too much, which so let's just hypothetically speak with this three, okay? Not the young. We're not talking about a Ja Morant. With this three, the coaching options are, I don't see Quinn Snyder leaving or Utah letting him go. They look how long they kept Jerry Sloan.
Yeah. Right.
They're not letting him go. They're going to pay him. And sure, Quinn might be tempted to come back to Lakers, but I don't think he's going anywhere.
No.
But even Quinn, if I'm correct, I mean, he's related to who? Phil.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. So now is Phil's hand coming into play to get Quinn there? And then in a sense, Quinn's coach really is by proxy Phil's coach, but not on the road games, home all games. Right. You know, so in that sense, it could work, but I don't think Quinn signs up for that.
Yeah,
I don't think he signs up to be the shadow guy who doesn't think. I don't think they're going to coax him away. So I we don't want Doc, but I also don't think Doc's going anywhere. Right. So
I put my head in for bid in for Mark Jackson or something different, a different voice,
yeah,
you know, something different. Like, yeah, like I wish Jason Kidd didn't leave, you know, just a different voice.
Mark Jackson would be a great. I think he understands what the players need. He was a guard, you know, he was an assist leader, right?
Yeah,
and so he actually would be, I think, a great help.
But look what he did with Golden State
to Westbrook,
and then he leaves, and then all Kerr did was just take over.
He created that culture.
Yeah.
He created
took all the credit.
He definitely created that culture of Golden State.
Yeah.
He definitely started that and put that
squad
together. Okay, so then we have, you know, the other power or so-called power in the East, which is the Nets. Now, the Nets, first-time coach in Steve Nash, they went the opposite route. They went the player coach, but they went just player.
Right.
No coaching experience at all. Is there somebody like that out there that maybe can come in line?
We can't do that. No. We ain't got no time for that.
No. Okay. So there's no. Yeah, even though the Nets, well, they're not necessarily.
They're in a tip place.
Yeah.
But at least they're in the playing.
But I knew that was going down because I never liked Mike D'Antoni's system from day one. I call him Antoni, no D. You know, and then when Steve Nash is following that philosophy, I knew it was a garbage fire. So, you know,
yeah, they're in trouble there. So I don't know. But yeah, I think obviously we know that the coaching is going to be up for debate with the Lakers. But that'll be very interesting.
Who does the wrong one?
Now we're going right back to that. Right. We're calling him asking.
Let's be real.
We already know who he won't. He won't Tyronn Lue.
We didn't want to give him the fifth year, right?
Yeah, it's
no, they was picking his coaching staff, and he didn't like that.
Oh, yeah, we're picking his coach.
Yeah, he's picking his coach.
That was, I think it was both, actually. Yeah, I think it was both. He wanted more power and more control. And he's doing a great job, by the way. You brought that up. The Clippers have dealt with, we're not a Clipper fandom here by any means, but they've dealt with some horrendous injuries this year as well, and they're still in the game.
Yeah,
so you kind of look at that squad right there, and you say, okay, and you look at the Lakers and go, what's your excuse?
Right.
Well, look, I'm going to tell you right now. Hey, I'm going to start this blame pie right now. All right, cool. So, you know, I think it should be sectioned off of at least four people, right? So, because we have ownership, let me know, if we, you know, so we have, you know, so that's Jeannie Buss.
Yeah.
I love Jeannie Buss. Yeah. You know, you're amazing, you know, owner. love you, Jeannie. Then we have LeBron, you know, and then we have Pelinka and Vogel, right? Anything else you guys want
to?
Throw in the Rambai.
Anthony Davis.
Rambai is part of
ownership.
Part of ownership.
Okay, part of ownership. Part of the bus.
Okay, yeah. Cool. And then we're going Anthony Davis in there, right?
Yeah, you got. How about just the others?
So the other
players, everyone other than LeBron.
Everybody,
because nobody else.
Well,
really.
I think we still have to. I think we
wait.
Have
AD
to,
has to be his own.
Yeah,
category.
AD has to be his own. Okay, AD has to be his own.
We can
have Westbrook and the others.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Look,
it could be Westbrook too.
But let me
and
but,
the others.
Like, let me just say like, this wait about. A minute. Let me just say this about Westbrook, man. Like, and I have a little bit of a soft spot from him. For him, simply because
you want his jersey.
No. I think he got put in a situation that really wasn't very cohesive for him, and he had prime time stuff on him. He was on Shaq's Eating Food a lot, but his numbers. Number one, he played probably the most games in the season. He averaged 18 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. So those are not bad numbers. Now we did see a whole lot of Shaq's Eating Food, but I think part of that is because. You know who's in my lane pie. So, look, I'll start off.
Let's break it down. Go for
I'm
it.
I'm gonna start off. So,
okay. So what we're doing?
If
run it down one more time.
What so basically, doing. What I want to do is look. I want to go and say, who, is, what is the reason?
Who's responsible?
Who should take the most responsibility for this particular season? Okay.
There you go.
So now, if I say. I gotta blame Jeannie Buss because Jeannie Buss is the one that signs off on everything that happens. Right. So if I was giving Jeannie Buss a rating, I would give her like,
slice of pie though. We're talking about the
pie. Yeah, 15%.
Okay, so I'm giving
she can have a 15% slice of that pie.
Okay, so we got 85%.
Right. Okay, so I got 85% left. Right. Okay. Now, yeah, Rob Pelinka is the one that went and brought this stuff to Jeannie to go. Yeah. So if Rob Pelinka should know a little bit more than Jeannie, because Jeannie is president of operations of the team.
Right.
So Rob Pelinka should know more of the basketball side. So
yeah,
we got to
be a sports agent. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and he understands all that, right? So I got to give him another 15% too.
Okay.
At least, you know what I'm saying? So now we got this guy. I'm gonna name Anthony Davis, and the reason why I'm gonna name Anthony Davis is because I feel like Anthony Davis did not do what he needed to do to be able to keep his body, in shape and ready for the season. And I think that's his biggest problem. I hope he does it this year. The fact I brought it up when he was getting married, 2 weeks before, I was annoyed at that. So y'all know I'm consistent. I'm giving him 20%. So where I'm at now.
All right. So you're at 50%.
I'm at 50%. All right. Cool. All right.
So we're at 50%.
So now
we know
it. We did 15. So we
got to blame. 70, we got to blame Vogel for not knowing 50. What the hell he should do because I said, yo, we got to if we gonna have Russell and LeBron, and I'm just a regular guy. That don't know anything based on my resume. And based on my resume, I don't know anything about all that type of stuff, but I think my way would have worked. I got to give Vogel 10% for not making it work.
Okay, now you got
the biggest blame.
40%.
Is it that I see on this team is LeBron James. I'm giving LeBron James.
Wow.
I ain't hating. Wait a minute. No, I was not supposed to get that.
40%?
I'm giving LeBron. Listen,
I might lean on that. I don't know why.
No, but the reason why I'm giving LeBron James 40% is because LeBron James in the offseason came up with the idea of getting Westbrook here.
And you know, and I didn't like he bought his other boy, Carmelo.
He bought it, and
I didn't like Carmelo.
Right. And to Carmelo's admission,
can't play D.
No, to Carmelo's admission, y'all Google it. He said LeBron called him up, asked him if he wanted to come. Carmelo said, man, you the GM?
Yeah.
If you want me to come, then I'll come.
He was going to the Knicks. He said
that. And he said, I came because LeBron called me up. So we already know who runs all this particular stuff. Right? Now, we have a guy that somewhere in the middle of the season, he recognized that they weren't going to be good, and he started stat chasing. And stop caring about wins and losses, right? And we also have a guy that was very unsupportive of the team that he constructed right around All-Star break. He was given Quinn Snyder was a great coach. Tyronn Lue was a great coach. He's talking about all these other organizations on this team, you know, except for the organization that he plays on that he constructed. So 100%. I'm giving LeBron James 40% for what he's done on and off the court.
All right, let's get to Demetrius. He's at 40%, 20, 15, 15, 10.
All right.
What are you feeling?
I think I'm leaning towards 35, 40 because, like you said, LeBron, he did have something to do with orchestrate this. And at the same time, soon when he knew nobody's playing defense, injuries, COVID, blah, 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 he like, all right, let me just do me, do stats. I got to make it work. Let me go for this and that, you know. And then I don't like the fact that he said, oh, I'm going to keep playing because I want my son to be in the league with me. I still got a problem with that statement. So that's why I think it's kind of like, oh, you all about
you
personal stuff and your son.
Are you okay with the other percentage breakdowns?
I'm okay with it.
All right, so you're okay with it.
So you with me? You broke it down like that. I'm okay.
All right, cool. I ain't gonna dog you this week.
There you go.
All right, all right.
You rocking with me?
Like I will give him 40%. I'm gonna tell you that. I mean, because he's available and he's on the court. Like, you know what I'm saying? He is playing again.
He's not performing.
He's playing. And I'm saying we have a lot of people that are actually not playing. And especially when you got Kendrick Nunn, we're not going to give him any percentage, but it's like things like that that's getting under my skin. And AD actually needs to be available for us to take us to the next level. Like, are we really believing that it's supposed to be LeBron James taking us to these great heights by himself without somebody with the caliber of AD? Like, we know that's not the case.
No. Right.
We're not the case. That's not the case. No, that's not the case. And we know it's not the case. You know, when we have AD coming with LeBron, that is supposed to be the dynamic duo to take us to those heights. I can't really put that all on LeBron if AD ain't taking his, I mean, pulling up his end of the bargain, which he hasn't. He needs to be available. And when he's playing, he's pretty damn good. But he's not playing. So now it's like, okay, so if I'm going to give LeBron 25%, I got to give AD another 25%. Because this is equal
share. Wow.
25%, because what I'm thinking was what a big piece is also Vogel. I think Vogel is at least 30%.
Wow.
And why I say that is because Vogel is lost like a deer in headlights right now. When it comes to just getting the Lakers in some kind of structure. Like, if we're good offensively, be great offensively. If we're bad, I mean, we're great defensively, be great defensively. Like, pick an identity, cultivate that, be that, and then work on the, you know, kind of like grind out wins. We were getting blown out in the first quarter by 30. It's like we're not prepared to play. And that's different. And it's something about the coach. And so I'm saying to me, he got to take 30%. So I'm like, you know, 20% got to be also the front office.
But at the same time, like you said, Vogel's bought in because he was known as a good defensive coach. And the players he had when he won, defensive players, was KCP, Alex Caruso, Danny Green, maybe.
Yeah.
So I think when he lost that, is Vogel, he don't have no say, like, hey, I didn't want y'all to trade these players away,
right?
But I'm stuck with these players. He couldn't even get them to play defense now on the same level. Is it the personnel, or are you saying it's the coach to push him to do that?
Well, I would say with this. So take, for example, Tom Thibodeau. I'm going to tell you right now, Tom Thibodeau can have me, you, Jeff, and Mike, and probably like some nuns from the, you know, the local Catholic church, and still put out a top 10 defense because he's done it. He's done it with the Knicks. He's done it when he went with the Celtics. He's done it with the Bulls. He's always having a top 10 defense. Whatever he has, he made Randle like a top 10, like not kind of like a top defender. And Randle don't play no defense. And he's making him buy in to that concept of playing defense. Vogel was being talked about in the same breath as Thibodeau. And I was wondering, like, why? Because, yeah, you don't have your defenders, but you got to create some kind of defensive structure so they can work with what you got. And it's like your base is so good, then all you need to do is plug and play. He didn't have that structure.
All right. So my point, what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of bring things full circle here. Of course, on HBO, there is the series Winning Time right now. I think they're on episode 6.
Yeah.
All right. It's outstanding. If you haven't been watching it, it's fun to watch. It's exciting. I'm going to go and I'm going to drop the bomb here and go against the popular here. And I'm going 50% on Jeannie Buss. And the reason why I'm going 50% on Jeannie Buss is because of Winning Time and what Jerry Buss did to make that team win. He did what it took. Somewhere along the line, somebody said, no, we're not going to go into luxury tax for that third year for Caruso. Somewhere along the lines, they said, no, we don't want to make this or go into luxury tax for that. That's not what Jerry Buss did per Winning Time. He gambled. He went for it. He was literally broke. If you watch it, it's outstanding. Mm-hmm. He was literally broke. The buck stops there. It starts there and it stops there. You have to hold the management and the front office accountable. After that, then you can start breaking it down. You can go ahead and start giving Pelinka all the negatives or credits that you want. The problem is he is inexperienced. He is unproven. He came from being an agent. Okay. Kobe's agent, keeping it in the family, but he was an agent. Okay. Take out the 2020 team. Mm-hmm. Let's say that season didn't complete and they chose not to do the bubble. And we continued where we're going. It's a complete failure. It's a complete failure. Yeah. He's not even credited with bringing LeBron. Magic took that. So it's a complete failure. Well, who hired him?
Yeah.
Who's kept him? Who's going to keep him?
They're going to keep him.
And Magic left because I think he wanted Jeannie to fire Pelinka. They wasn't getting along.
Right.
So Jeannie has this. You're right. Jeannie has this. Blame us.
So you
her emotions get too much into it.
She has to be there. She has to. You have to.
So the other 40 is going to LeBron then.
No. But I consider that I don't even consider any of it Pelinka's fault because I consider it Jeannie at that time who says, no, we're not going to go that route. We're not going to do this. Rambis and everyone above him. If he says, well, we want a happy LeBron and this will probably give us a chance. Well, okay, that's what he's explaining. You know, even if he went to town for it, you know, at the end of the day, she's the final decision. You have to give her 50%. Other than that, you can break it down how you want. I give Vogel, I give Vogel 20%. I'll give LeBron 15%. Wow. And I'll give AD 15%.
Wow.
LeBron, I'll give 15%, but it's not off effort. It is his inability to gather the squad and hold them accountable for their poor efforts. That is something that he should have
done. I mean, well, he is in the 19th year. He should know how to gather a team.
He should.
You're right.
He should. That's it. See, that's a fair criticism.
Yeah.
So my criticism is not fair.
Some of them, 40%.
40%.
Money might go out of bounds.
Hey, the last 15% to AD because you're right. He hasn't. I believe he hasn't properly taken care of his body. So I will do that. I'll give you that.
Water, man. What percentage you gonna give LeBron? You know.
I gotta give LeBron about 40-45.
That my man. My man. And explain the reason why, man. Look, I already agree with you, but explain the reason why.
Well, this is what LeBron wanted. Right? They gave him, they said, all right, well, we're gonna give you what you want, and they gave him what he want. They gave him what he wanted, and it went right. It went to shit quick, right? And it's unfortunate that it went this way, but that's just what it is. This is what you wanted. Okay, here, you got to work it out. And he wasn't able to work it out. AD couldn't. AD's like, you know, paper mache thin, and things is going to work out. So, like, I got to give him majority of the blame. And then I don't blame Westbrook. Westbrook man might get like 5-10%. Hey, listen. They brought him in because this is what LeBron wanted, so I can't really blame Westbrook. I just put more of the blame on I put the majority of the blame on LeBron, and then after between Genie and AD, I would say another 20-20.
All Mike smart, cares about water. Is that you agree with at least that 40%. but you know, you really have to go to YouTube or Facebook to catch the video, because when you said 45%, man, his teeth, I haven't seen so many teeth in that smile.
Well, I mean, he heard 45%, he's a smart man.
He was just happy as can be. Money Mike.
Yes.
You have an out of bounds segment?
I have out of bounds.
All right. Everybody.
It's a fun one, too.
All right. Hang on. Everybody. Let me do the proper introduction. Here we go. Okay. So, everybody who's watching, of course, if you watch the show, you know that we finish the show here with a segment we call Money Mike's Out of Bounds. He's going to share his thoughts or opinion on a topic, and he just wants to know, is her thoughts inbounds or out of bounds? Money Mike, you have the mic.
It's a fun one, but I know y'all going to go crazy over this. Am I out of bounds for saying Jerry West is the GM of the year? And this is the reason why.
What?
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. We don't have the star. We don't have the star, Kawhi Leonard, off all season. We don't have Paul George. You know, he didn't play 50 games. But we have a team that was balanced and was able to be competitive and a contending team without the two main people that the team was constructed behind. Right. So we know that by the construction of this team in comparison to the down the hall construction, he did a damn good job of constructing that team and making it balanced where they could still be contending. So my balance for Jay West is it should be the GM of the year based on the Clippers performance.
So Lawrence Frank
Lakers
is
just
the
fired
GM.
Frank Vogel per Big Baby Sports.
Wow.
Season's over, yep. Fired him.
Done. Oh man, big
also,
baby.
Also, we missed a shout out. I know that you put that up there, Duan. Thank you. Daniel Artez checking in, my guy. Shout out to the nation. No shout out to you, Daniel.
Shout out. What up, Dan?
Thank you.
Breaking news. Anyways, time on
it
that.
It's on Twitter. Yeah. Big Baby Sports.
Big Baby.
Okay, so Vogel's gone.
Vogel's gone.
Thank you, Big Baby. And good. You should follow Big Baby as well. Big Baby Jonathan.
So, yeah, I don't know. Is Lawrence Frank the EGM? Of the Clippers,
yes.
I know what you call it.
President, yeah. President of the year. Then,
I think he's a consultant.
He's a consultant.
Oh, he's just a consultant.
But they got to run it through him. They run it through. But I know what you're saying. Like, is he like? Would he be if he was the GM? I guess like GM of the year because of what Keith's done for that team. I would say the Clippers are afloat, but there are some other teams that are pretty good. Like I like Charlotte. When we talk about like how they're constructed, like there's like a lot of these guys. I know Memphis as well, like how they're being constructed. John Morant, and you know he's pretty much
not yeah. But see, the reason why I'm giving it to Wes or giving credit to
because
Wes
of the two stars
because the stars that you would have expected to be there are missing, but they still are able to be competitive.
Well, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I would say you're in balance.
All right, Demetrius.
I'm gonna say you out of bounds because nice. The reason why we even saying the Clippers are relevant because the Lakers not. If the Lakers was, the Clippers would be down more. Even look what Greg Popovich is doing with the Spurs. It's almost the same level, you know. That's what I'm saying. It's like we giving just because the two stars are out, they just doing what they're supposed to. They still number seventh or eighth. They not the top six.
Now, if yeah, they were the but top their six, stars are out, though.
But still, they was the top six. I see what you point. They still nine.
Yeah, if they were top four, home court advantage.
Exactly.
Something like that.
If the Lakers was relevant, we wouldn't be talking about it. That's why.
I might agree. Yeah, you know, no, also, you just don't know exactly what his fingerprints were on that team just yet. He hasn't really been there that long. Yeah. If you're going to give credit to anyone, it has to be Ty Lue. Again, he's kept the team together.
Yeah.
But isn't that because of Jay West?
No.
No. Well, no. It's again, that's getting to the Tom Thibodeau. Yeah. It's the it doesn't matter what squad you give them, they're going to have great defense.
Yeah.
So that goes to the coaching. I would give that to the coaching.
All right, hey, Wilder, man, you agree with me?
Yeah, I got your back, dog.
Good looking out.
All right. Yeah. Is he inbounds?
I'm inbounds.
Yeah, we lost him. No problem. Yeah. All right, perfect. So, right. So you got a mix there.
Yeah.
You got
a
mix. That's okay. It's okay. But I think the shocking thing of the night is that, you know, he actually awarded something to the Clippers.
Wow.
By his choice, if he was voting, he would have actually anointed someone who actually isn't the GM, but a consultant still, consultant of the year.
But that was a half his, the construction of the team has Jerry West's fingerprints on it.
I would agree owner, that it I started,
the owner. The owner, he got pockets.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah,
that's
what he's doing.
But they have done quite well with two injured all-stars, superstars. But yeah. Mr. Money Mike.
I absolutely do not want the Clippers to win for many reasons.
Still, they can't win. But we'll leave with this, okay? So if LeBron James coming to the Lakers, you're not so happy with and haven't deemed that a success, what is Kawhi Leonard over there?
He hasn't done anything over there. So.
Yeah, he hasn't even freaking barely played.
Yeah,
so it's a complete failure.
I mean, it is a failure in a sense of it's a waste of money.
Oh yeah,
for them,
dude. It's like this is the second year, right? So the first year they did that whatever, and then the second year they basically.
This is the third year.
He
came when AD came.
Yeah,
we tried to get Kawhi with AD.
Oh, yeah. Bubble.
Yeah.
And then last year, and then this is the third year. Yeah. Wow.
He got hurt last year when they.
Yeah, it's
and they signed him on the contract.
That's a large dollar contract
right
there.
It's a failure.
All right. All right, everybody. Well, we'll leave you guys with that. We'll discuss the Lakers firing Frank Vogel next week. We'll discuss what other moves maybe the Lakers have made.
Yes.
And we'll see what's going on. We'll see who speaks and what type of sound bites we can get and where Money Mike comes back with his out of bounds next week. I'd like to give out a few thank yous. Number one, to Pure Life Alternative Wellness Center. Thank you so much. Our studio sponsor, as well as the show, we really appreciate you. They are located in Chatsworth, California. Trust me, they have everything you need. Go out there, Pure Life Alternative Wellness Center. Secondly, Daniel Artest for checking in, Big Baby Jonathan, and especially our guest here in-house, Demetrius Harold.
Thank you.
And just a special thank you for putting Money Mike on blast so hard last week, because that was hilarious. And that's definitely going to make it into our greatest of all time files. And to you guys, the listeners, you can download this audio starting Tuesday everywhere the podcasts are found, any platform, iHeart, Spotify, you name it, Apple Podcasts. Go ahead and download it. Find us here on YouTube and Facebook. Play it at your leisure. We will be back next week, like we are every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Pacific Live. And next week, we have an outstanding show for you guys. We have Roy Firestone coming back in the house. Roy Firestone, if you don't know who that is, y'all better Google that, because Roy Firestone was there. We are about to break it down. All right. Now, this is just a little bit here. Okay. We've had Jeff Pearlman on the show. Jeff Pearlman is the author of the book that Winning Time is based on, that whole show.
Yeah.
Well, we have reporters and broadcasters that were there. We are in Los Angeles. So there are reporters and broadcasters, very famous, very well known, that were there. We're going to be speaking to them. You're going to hear from them directly to see how true or how false is Winning Time. Is Jerry West really that neurotic? Was Jerry Buss really that We're just going to leave it at that. And was magic, magic, just like he says. We're going to find out from the people that were actually there. Wow. So you don't want to miss the upcoming shows. We're going to bring it to you. We're going to break it down like only the Profanity Nation can. Thank you guys for sticking with us. We went a little bit long tonight, but it was worth it. Thank you guys so much. Like I said, we'll be back next week. Demetrius, everybody who joined, thank you. Thank you, Clubhouse, and we'll see you.
Peace.
Peace. Peace.
Profanity Nation.
Yeah, it's the new era of man for some old school fans with a new school brand. We got money on the mic with the plan in hand. And Stat Pat to his left, they go hand in hand. And to the right, we got Simpster, he putting it down. It's the Profanity Nation, we running the town. Yeah,
it's the Profanity Nation.
Profanity Nation.
Queens, the Bronx, Stat, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.